Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Hei on an Aleph at the Mishnah at towards the top of the Amid. The Torah teaches us, Ish Ish Ashi Yakriv Karbana L'chon Nidreyem L'chon Nidroysom Ashi Yakrivu L'Hashem L'Oyla. And we will admit Hashem learned that from this Pasuk, we learned that the Akum also have the ability to donate Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. The only question is, which carbon do we accept from them? It is certainly the opinion of all Tanon that we accept from the Akum carbon oila. We will learn in Hashem Masechta Menachos, Masechta Chulin, a question if we also accept from them carbon shlomim. So our Mishnah begins to discuss what are the rules regarding the carbonus of the Akum. It says the Mishnah Kachar of the Kachavim, carbonus that we accept from the Akum, Eim Chayavim Aleim, Mishum Pigul Nois V'Tamei. The Alocha Pigul, Nois V'Tamei, do not apply to the carbonus of an Akum. Machloikas Achroinim, that when we say over here that the Alocha Pigul does not apply to the carbon of an Akum, does that mean that there is no issue of Pigul at all by his carbon? Or does it mean that there is an issue of pigul, but it's going to be only possible, as we've been learning, we'll continue learning Be'ezer Hashem, that there's a chiyuv karis by where somebody, Rechman Slan, eats pigul, that we're going to learn doesn't apply by the carbon of an akum. But certainly there is an issue of pigul. Actually, the same question is discussed, a similar question is discussed regarding Noiser and Tamei. That, as the Micha says, the lav of Baal Toyser, the lav that one may not leave over from a carbon past the proper time, and the chiv mitzvah say to burn noiser, certainly also says the Micha's chinuch applies by the carbon of an akum. The question here only is there going to be a chiv karis? And similarly, when we speak about tamei, that of course the carbon of a that becomes tamei, even if it's a carbon of an akum, may not be consumed. Certainly somebody who's tamei should not do the avoid of an akum. Again, when our Mishnah says that the carbon of an akum is excluded from the halacha of tama, the achronim say it only means as far as what we've been discussing, that there's a chiyuv chatos by tum of a carbon shogig, and there's a chiv kares b'mezid. And our Mishnah is teaching us that those punishments, those serious punishments, do not apply by the carbon of an akum. Continues the Mishnah. Vashachtem b'chutz, as we know, there's an iser to shech the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And here too we learn Hashach to Bechutz. If somebody shechs a carbon Bechutz, the halacha is that he's potter, the carbon of an akum, Diver Reb Shimon. So is the opinion of Reb Shimon. On the other hand, Reb Yossi Mechayiv, Reb Yossi says that there is a chiyiv by the carbon of an akum. And as we will see, we'll understand this question that the Rishonim discuss more as we get deeper into the shir, but there is a discussion how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi says Mechayiv, that he does treat the carbon of an akum, what does that mean? Does it mean strictly as far as the halacha of Shchut Echutz, that the opinion of Shimon is that Shchut Echutz doesn't apply by the carbon of an akum, and he will hold that the din of Shchut Echutz does apply by the carbon of an akum? Or are we to understand the opinion of Reb Yossi to say that regarding all halachas that we've distinguished between them, that the Tanakhama has said there's a difference between the carbon of an Akum versus the carbon of Yisrael, those halachas will not apply. Reb Yossi will disagree and say that those halachas do apply even by the carbon of an Akum. Also an interesting question that's brought up by Reb Chaim Oizer in his Sefer Achiezer, he discusses what will be the halacha regarding a carbon that an Akum brought But the Akum did not bring the carbon on his own behalf, but rather he brought the carbon on behalf of Yisrael. Will that carbon be treated like the carbon of Yisrael, or will that carbon be treated like the carbon of an Akum? Do we go after the person who actually brought the carbon, who owns the carbon, and here that carbon is owned by a Akum, and therefore it's treated like the carbon of the Akum, or do we treat it like the carbon of Yisrael, since the Yisrael is the one that's going to have the kapara from the carbon? The Achiezer, or Chaim Oizer opinion, it seems, is that we treat it like the carbon of a Yisrael. We go bosom skaper, we go after the one that had the kapara. Another interesting question that I saw that the Mefarshim discussed is as follows. We know that the halacha is that ain't shlichus l'akum. That Akum do not have the ability to make a shliach. So now the question is, on every carbon that an Akum donates to the Beis HaMikdash, we have a fundamental issue. The Kohanim are the ones that bring the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, do the Avodah, and they're acting as a shliach of the owner. How could the Akum be considered the shliach of the owner when ein shlichus l'akum? And if we want to take this question perhaps a step further, the way we could explain this question is, as we know, the Gemara Masechet Gedushin has a discussion. How do we look at the Kahanim? Are the Kahanim shluchim the Don, or the Kahanim shluchim the Rechmona? Do we look at the Kahanim as the shlichim of the people who are bringing the carbon, or do we look at the Kahanim as the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shouldn't this Gemara clearly be an indication that the Kahanim are shluchim the Rechmona? Because if they were shlichim the Don, if they're the shlichim of the people who are bringing the carbon, how could they be the shlichim of the Akum if we say ain shlichus l'akum? So there are a number of terutzim. One terutz is that by kachim, even though in all areas of halacha we know the rule is ain shlichus l'akum, by kachim there is shlichus l'akum. Another terutz is that the halacha does not view the Akum as the owner of the carbon. And therefore, if the halacha viewed the Akum as the owner of the carbon, so then the Kohanim serve in the capacity as the shliach of the owner. But if the halacha doesn't view him as the owner, then there is no need for him to be considered a shliach. Another teretz that I saw, very interesting teretz. When the Gemara debates in Masechta Kedushin and in other places in Shas, if the Kohanim are Shluchei the Don or Shluchei the Rachmana, that's only in a situation where that doesn't mean that it's either or. Rather, we are to understand that the Kohanim are certainly Shluchei the Rachmana. When the Gemara asks the question, the Gemara means to ask, are they only Shluchei the Rachmana, or are they also Shluchei Didon? Now we can understand the Gemara very well by Akum. By a Yisrael, the kind of Shluchei the Rachmana, and now the Gemara wants to know, is he also Shluchei Didon? By an Akum, he's only Shluchei the Rachmana. There's no element of Shlichus of the Akum, and therefore we don't have a problem that how could he be the Shlich of the Akum to bring the carbon. So begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Kacha of the Kachavim, when it comes to the Karbonos of an Akum, Loinenen, there is no, we may not have Hano, Midrabonon, since it's Kachim, we may not have Hano from that carbon, Loin Ma'alim. The halacha is that if somebody has Hano, we'll learn Masechta Me'ilah with Hashem, under certain circumstances there's an Issa Me'ilah, teaches us our Mishnah, to our Gemara, that there is no Issa Me'ilah by the carbon of an Akum. The way most Mefarshim, the Ketzais discusses this, the way most Mefarshim explain why there is no Issa Me'ilah, is because Me'ilah is only in a case where it's a full-fledged Hegdish, and the Akum do not have the ability to make a full-fledged Hegdish. Since they don't have that ability, there is no Me'ilah. Furthermore, as we've learned in our Mishnah,
the chiyuv of pickled nois with tamei doesn't apply by the carbon of an akum. Veinos from tamura, we've discussed many times that the halacha is that that lo yamirenu. The Torah says that if we have a carbon lo yamirenu, we have to be careful not to substitute that carbon. However, the Torah says vim hama yamirai soi. If one does substitute that carbon, does substitute it for hayahu usmarasoi yir kaidish, both the original carbon and the substitute carbon is considered kaidish. Teaches us our Mishnah, teaches us our Gemara, that halacha does not apply by the karbonos of an akum. The aim of the mesachim, we've learned just in our recent shiurim the concept of mesachim when karbonos are brought, and our Mishnah teaches us that there are no mesachim to the carbon of an akum. But actually, there's a machlokes harishayim. What is the proper girsa of our Gemara? Our Gemara's girsa is Eim Avim Nesachim, which means that when an Akum brings a carbon, that the Akum doesn't bring the Sachim. Meaning, as we learned in our previous shiurim, we could have two situations of Nesachim. We could have a situation of Nesachim where somebody brings a carbon Nesachim, Nechas Nesachim. And according to that, our Gemara's teaching that the Akum cannot bring that carbon. However, when a carbon is brought, as we learned in our previous shiurim, Nesachim should be brought along with them. That rule would apply to Akum. That's if the Gersa is Ve'eim Mevi'im Nesachim. However, there is another Gersa. Ve'eim Mevi'im Aleihem Nesachim. Eim Mevi'im Aleihem Nesachim, that's only when you're bringing the Nesachim alone. That carbon Akum can't bring. But the Nesachim that are brought along with a carbon, that does apply to an Akum as it applies to a Jew. So again, one opinion is that only Nesachim that are brought alone, Akum don't bring. But Nesachim that come along with a carbon, the Akum would bring. And we'll discuss exactly what are the rules later in our shiur, exactly how those Nesachim will be brought. And the other opinion is that the Akum doesn't bring either case of Nesachim, not Nesachim that are brought independently, and not Nesachim that are brought along together with a carbon. Ava carbon ton Nesachim. Divrei Rav Shimon. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon in this Gersa. On Rav Yossi, Raya Nibakun al-Hakmer, I treat the carbon of an Akum like the turban of a Jew, Shinema Lashem. Because the Torah says the words Lashem by the carbon of an Akum to teach us that his carbon is treated like the carbon of a Jew. Says the Gemara, B'med v'amamur, when is this said that there is no Issa Me'ila by the carbon of an Akum, no Issa Me'ila d'oraisa, B'kachim is Be'ach. Abba kachim be'ach, the Kabayis Me'on be'ach. As we know, there are two types of Kedusha. There's Kedushas Mizbeach. Kedushas Mizbeach means that somebody was magdish a carbon, somebody was magdish an animal to be brought on the Mizbeach, and this Kedushas by the Kabayis. Kedushas by the Kabayis means that somebody donated something to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash for whether it's money or different things that should be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And our mission is teaching us that the Al-Bereis is teaching us that even though we've excluded the Akum from Kachay, from the Elah, that's only as far as when we're discussing Kedushas Mizbeach, not when we're speaking about Kedushas Bedekabayis. And we'll discuss perhaps later in our shiur why there's a difference between Kedushas Mizbeach and Kedushas Bedekabayis. Now, the Gemara will begin to analyze each one of these rules that we learned in the Braisa. Begins the Gemara. Loi Nenen, Loi Malin. We said we're not allowed to have Hano from a carbon that an Akum designates, but there is no Issa Me'ila. Explains the Gemara. Loi Nenen, the din that we're not allowed to have Hano is a din Midrabonim. Loi Malin, but that these Kabonis are not subject to the Halacha Me'ila, why not? The Gama Me'ila Chet Chet Mitruma. We learn a gzeres shava connecting me'ilah to truma. And by truma, the Torah used the words ksiv b'nei Yisrael v'loy oy b'kachavim, that the halacha of truma only applies by b'nei Yisrael, not by akum. So just like truma only applies by b'nei Yisrael, not by akum, the gzeres shava of chet chet says the same will be regarding me'ilah. Then chayovin olem shum pigel nois v'tomei, says the Gemara, my tama, the osa pigel oven minoiser. We have a gzeres shava. The Torah says by pigel by nefesh haichelos mimena avoyno tisa, and the Torah says by noiser for oichlov avoyno yisa kias kodesh Hashem chilo. Since we have the word oven by both of them, so we say that just like noiser doesn't apply by akum. And how that, hey, we know that, it will see in a half a second. So too is the halacha by pigel. Vasa noiser. How do we know that noiser doesn't apply by akum? Os chilah chilah mituma. We learn from gzeres shava chilah chilah mituma. The Torah regarding tuma says loichalu es kach eshem kachi, and the Torah uses the same words regarding noiser. So we learn gzeres shava over tuma, and by tuma, how do we know that tuma doesn't apply by an akum? Because by tuma it says b'nei Yisrael v'lo oiv d'kachavim. The next rule we said, as we explained, ein oisin tamura, that the carbon of akum is not subject to the halachas of tamura. Ask the Gemara, my tama, the iskish tamura l'maisa behema. The Torah connects the halacha of tamura to the halacha of maisa behema. Or Ma'is Behema, and the halacha Ma'is Behema is compared to Ma'is Dagim, the halacha of regular Ma'is, Ma'is Rishon, or Ma'is Sheni. Or the Ma'is Dagim, Ksiv, the Ma'is Dagim, the Torah says, B'nai Yisrael, the light of the Kachavim. So in other words, we have here a double hekish. First we learn the halacha of Ma'is Behema from Ma'is Dagim, and then we learn the halacha of Tamura from Ma'isa Behema. Ask the Brisker Rav, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that akum are excluded from the din of Ma'isa Behema? What is Ma'isa Behema? What Ma'isa Behema is that the Torah tells us that we should take 10 animals together. The Torah says that we should take 10 animals together, and from every 10 animals, the 10th animal should be designated for Ma'isa Behema. So of course, says the Brisker Rav, it's the Torah, when it's mechayev us to do Ma'isa Behema, that says that we should take these 10 animals and join them as a group. If the Akum, who certainly is not subject to the halachos of the Torah, so certainly there's no way of creating a group of 10 animals to be chayev in Ma'isa Behema. Answers the Brisker Rav, absolutely. To teach us a very interesting teretz. To teach us the halacha that akum are excluded from the halacha ma'isa behema, we don't need the psukim, the pasuk. It's obvious that he has no connection to that pasuk, just like he has no connection to all the other rules that our holy Torah teaches us, and not the akum. The reason the Torah went out of its way to teach us that akum is excluded from the halacha ma'isa behema is specifically because of what we're learning today. Because we're learning now that we need to have a hekesh to exclude them from tamura. How would we get to this hekesh if not through? How would we get to this limud that they're excluded from the halacha of tamura if not that we had this double hekesh? So first So the only reason the Torah tells us that a goy is excluded from ma'isa behema is in order to be able to accomplish the hekesh that we need to teach us that he's excluded from the halacha of tamura. Ask the Gemara, the chidav alam behekesh, choizim alam behekesh. But we've learned, and we will learn with Hashem, that a double hekesh, we can't learn a double hekesh when it comes to kachshim. So here we have a situation of a double hekesh. First we're learning ma'isa behema from ma'isa dogim, and then we're learning tamura from ma'isa behema. Ask the Gemara, the chidav alam behekesh, choizim alam behekesh, is a double hekesh acceptable? Answers the Gemara, it's not a double hekish regarding kachin. Because Maiser Dagon, the chiv of taking Maiser by Maiser Rishon or Maiser Sheni, is chulin. Because we know what our loch is, that Maiser Rishon or Maiser Ani could be eaten, or Maiser Sheni, actually Maiser Ani the same, could be eaten by anybody. There's no limitation that it could only be eaten by Kohanim, etc. Ask the Gemara. Panich leman da omer bosa melamed as linen. Eleman da omer bosa woman as linen. Mayik lememer. Gemara's question is as follows. We established that in Kachim, a double hekish is unacceptable. In all other areas of halacha, a double hekish is acceptable. So now ask the Gemara. If we're going to need to determine if the issue at hand is a subject of Kachim, and therefore a double hekish is unacceptable, or the subject at hand is chulin, and therefore a double hekish is halachically acceptable. How do we make that determination? Meaning, what do we look at? Do we look at the teacher, the subject that's being taught, the subject from which we're learning, or do we talk about the subject that we're learning about? If we look at from where we're learning, yes. So we're learning the original, the basis of this entire limud is based on the halacha by Maiser Dagon. The halacha, as I said, by Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni and Maiser Ani. And as we just said a moment ago, those subjects are subjects that are chulin, and therefore the issue of a double hekish will not be here. However, if we don't look at the, so to speak, the Rebbe, at the teacher, but rather we look at the student. We look at where we want to learn this halacha. We want to learn the halacha regarding Temura. Temura is Kachim, and therefore we would have the problem of a double hekish. So let's read the Gemara. If we look at this source, at the Rebbe, at the teacher, so the source is Maiser Dagon, which is not Chulin. When determining, is this a subject of Kachim, or is this a subject of chulin? We look at the subject that's being discussed. So the subject that's being discussed is Temura. Temura is kachshim. So then we have the old problem of double hekish. That here we have a double hekish, which is an unacceptable style of learning. Mayikulamemer. Therefore, the Gemara gives a different reason that the Akum's animals are excluded from Maisa. We don't need to rely on Maisa Behema. We don't need to have a hekish between Maiser Behema and Maiser Dagon, and then have a hekish between Temura and Maiser Behema. Rather, Maiser Behema Choy V'Shein K'vulos Manhu. Maiser Behema doesn't have a specific time when it has to be brought. It's not connected to a Yontif. It's not connected to a specific time of the year. The Choy V'Shein Lo Zman K'vulos, and a Choy V'Shein that doesn't have a specific time, only Yisrael Maisi, only the Yisrael have to bring Ovik Chavim Lo Maisi, Ovik Chavim don't bring. And therefore, since it's not connected to a specific time, that's why Akum are excluded from Maisa Behema. And now that the Torah was Makish, the Halacha of Temura to Maisa Behema, will say that just like they're excluded from Maisa Behema, so too are they excluded from Temura. So we discussed before the Halacha of Eim Avim Nesachim, that the Akum don't bring Nesachim. So as we said, everybody agrees that Nesachim that are brought alone, we discussed that a person has the ability to be Menadav Amichas Nesachim, that doesn't apply by the Akum. The discussion we're going to have is regarding Nesachim that come along with a carbon. Tanabon Ezrach may be Nesachim, only Yisrael, Benav Kacham, Benav Kacham. Yochel, Loi Tehei, I lost a tune in Nesachim. That if he brings a carbon, there is no Michas Nesachim brought along with it. Tamaloy Mekacha, that there is Nesachim brought along. So according to this version of the Gemara, Akum cannot bring a plain Michas Nesachim, but the Nesachim that come along with a carbon, the Akum actually bring along. The question is, what does that mean that he brings along? There are many different opinions. Some say that if he sends along money for the Michas Nesachim, we purchase Michas Nesachim with that money. If he doesn't send along money, So then we use communal funds to buy Nesachim for his carbon. The Mefarshim say, if he sends along the ingredients, the flour and the wine, that we certainly cannot accept. The reason that we can't accept the flour and wine of the Nesachim of an Akum, explained the Mefarshim, is because those are food ingredients, and we need to be concerned that the Akum will be metama the food ingredients. That's the opinion of Rashi. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that of course we have to accept the Nesachim of an Akum, but says the carbon of an Akum has to have Nesachim, as our Gemara is teaching us, that we learn from the word Kacha. But says the Rambam, we have to purchase those Nesachim. And according to the Rambam, even if the Akum were to send along money for his Nesachim, we would not accept that money, and the halacha would be that we have to bring our own, the tzibur has, we have to use tzibur funds for the Nesachim of an Akum. Amar Yosef, Raya Nikulam HaHakama. As we already learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef, on the other hand, treats the carbon of an Akum like the carbon of Yisrael. Raya Nikulam HaHakama. However, says the Gemara, when it comes to Me'ila, the Medvar Mamurim, the Kachim is Be'ach. That only Kachim Mizbeach are Akum excluded from the Halacha of Me'ila. By Kachim by the Kabayis, Akum are not excluded from the Halacha of Me'ila. Machloikas Rishonim, how do I understand this? According to Rashi, this is going according to the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that Akum are excluded from the Halacha of Me'ila. So says the Gemara, when does Rav Shimon hold that Akum are excluded? Strictly by Kachi Mizbeach. But by Kachi, by the Kabayis, the Halacha of Me'ila will apply. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that according to Rav Shimon, there is no Me'ila by the Kachi of Akum, whether it's Kachi Mizbeach or Kachi by the Kabayis. And that what our Gemara is differentiating between Kachim Mizbeach and Kachim Bede Kabayis is only going to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, as we learned and are learning, is stricter when it comes to the Karbonos of an Akum. Says the Gemara, even Rabbi Yossi, who's stricter when it comes to Kachim of an Akum, and says that they sometimes are subject to Me'ila, that's only regarding Kachim Bede Kabayis. The Kachim Mizbeach, he will agree they're excluded from. My Tama, what is the reason to differentiate between Kachim Mizbeach and Kachim Bede Kabayis? Kisavar, because we learned. Why do we know, why, said the Gemara earlier, are Akum excluded from the Halacha Me'ila? Because we learn Gzeir Shav from Truma. Says the Gemara, Ki Gam Me'ila Chet Chet B'Truma. We learn Gzeir Shav from Truma. So, it has to be similar to Truma. Domir to Truma. Truma is Kedusha Kedusha Saguf. And therefore, says like Truma, which is Kedusha Saguf, Akum are excluded from Kachim Mizbeach, which also have a Kedusha Saguf, they're excluded from the Hilchos Me'ila regarding Kachim Mizbeach. Aval, Kedusha Bede Kabayis, when we speak about Kedusha Bede Kabayis, the Kedusha Stamim, when we're speaking about Kedusha Stamim, Loi, Akum are not excluded from. Explains Reb Cheskel Abramsky in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel, what is the difference between Kachim Mizbeach and Kachim Bede Kabayis? He says a beautiful explanation. He says, Kachim Mizbeach. What is Kachim Mizbeach? It means a carbon. I donate a carbon. So yes, we can't say halachically in any way that I am still the owner of the carbon. I donated the carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. But even though I'm not the owner of the carbon anymore, even though I'm not the maybe monetary owner of the carbon, it's still my carbon. And since it's my carbon, so if I am a Jew, so the halachas of Me'ila will apply to that carbon. By an Akum, the halacha of Me'ila will not apply. By the Kachim Bede Kabayis, as we said earlier in our shiur, what does Kachim Bede Kabayis mean? Kachim Bede Kabayis means that something was donated to the Bede Kabayis. When we speak about something being donated to the Bede Kabayis, there it's an entire different situation.
when it's being donated to Beit HaKabayis, it becomes completely the property of the Beis HaMikdash. If it becomes the property of Beis HaMikdash, so it doesn't make a difference who donated it to Beis HaMikdash. Now that it's the property of the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha of Mi'ilah will apply to it, because somebody had a note from something that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Tanabo, says the Braisa, Dam Shenitma V'Zarka. We know, we've learned many times, the halacha is that the Torah teaches us about the parasha of Ritzitzitz. That if a carbon was brought with Tumah, the Tzitz has the ability to be Mechaper on that carbon, even though it was brought with Tumah. And as we have spoken previously, the halacha that the Tzitz is Meratzah applies both when it's is applicable both when the carbon it was done with shogig or b'mezid. The Torah doesn't differentiate between shogig and mezid. It's Chazal that made a difference between shogig and mezid, and they said that if the carbon was brought to tumah b'shogig, the carbon will be effective. If it was done b'mezid, it's not. And the way most Rishonim explain is as follows. Actually, since, as we said a moment ago, midoy raisa, it is effective even b'mezid. So that means, if the carbon was brought with tumah b'mezid, midoy raisa, it's fine. Chazal v'machmer. What pshat the chazal v'machmer? What pshat when we say that chazal v'machmer, it means that chazal have the ability to say that this carbon, that even though it should be effective, we're saying it's not effective. When we say it's not effective, it means that you can't eat from that carbon. Maybe the person who's supposed to have a kapara doesn't have a full-fledged kapara through that carbon. But Chazal, according to the opinion of most Rishonim, do not have the ability to tell anyone that they would have to bring another carbon since that carbon didn't work. Why can't Chazal do so? Because Chazal can't say to a person that's not mechuyev a carbon, because midaraisa the carbon was effective because of ritzitzitz, that even though your carbon was effective midaraisa, bring another carbon, because that would be a situation of kachim b'chutz, and we know that kachim b'chutz are certainly not acceptable. And therefore, what we're learning now in the Gemara is as follows. Says the Gemara, Tana Bonin, dam shenitma v'zarkoi, if a carbon became tamei and they still did the zrikas dam with that carbon, b'shagig we rely on the tzitz, b'mezid lehurtza. Says the Gemara, when is this distinction said between shogig and mezid? Says the Gemara, strictly b'yachid, ab b'tzibur, when it's a carbon tzibur, bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid, whether it's b'shogig or b'mezid, the halach is that it's purtza. The simplest way of understanding this rule is that even though Chazal made this rule that we don't rely on the carbon, on the tzitz b'mezid, that they only said by yachid, but they didn't say it by carbon tzibur. By carbon tzibur, Chazal didn't say their rule that we should restrict the mezid. Other Rishonim have a different way of understanding the Gemara. A carbon yachid that becomes tamei requires ritzitzitz. And since it requires ritzitzitz, so even though midaraisa, ritzitzitz is effective both by a shogig and a mezid, Chazal said we should limit it only to shogig, not mezid. A carbon tzibur, explained these Rishonim, I think it's actually the opinion of Taisus, doesn't require ritzitzitz. You know why it doesn't require ritzitzitz? Because we have a rule of tumah hutra b'tzibur, and therefore it's certainly going to be effective. Or by the chavim, when we speak about the carbon of an akum, there's no ritzitzitz, because as we're going to learn, the halacha of ritzitzitz doesn't apply by akum. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabu Bana Kamed Rab Papa, this halacha was said to Rab Papa in front of Rab Papa, and Rab Papa commanded like Rab Yossi. This statement that we're learning doesn't seem to be following the opinion of Rab Yossi. There Rab Yossi Rav Yossi is machmer in all situations to treat the carbon of an akum like the carbon of Yisrael. Omer Papa, to which Rav Papa responds, a feel of time Rav Yossi. It can be found in the opinion of Rav Yossi. Because Shani Hasa, when it speaks regarding Ritzitzitz,
Damar kro lahem, lahem v'lahem v'chavim. The Torah singles out that the tzitz only works for Yisraelim, not for Akum. Amalei Rafun v'redim nosn rapapa, ela mehata asher magdishim. When the Torah speaks about the basic rule of bringing kabbonis, the Torah says asher magdishim, so why don't we say the same thing, hachinami heim v'lahem v'chavim, and exclude Akum from bringing kabbonis, which we know clearly is not true, because we've been learning in our entire shir that Akum do bring kabbonis. Ela amar Ravashi, the reason why Akum are excluded from Ritzi Tzitz, because the Torah says l'rotzon lahem, v'ayde kachavim la b'nei atzon nidu. Kachavim are not those that could find favor, and since they're not those that could find favor, they're not in that parasha, they're not in the parasha of Ritzi Tzitz. And actually this Gemara that we just learned is very, very relevant to some interesting questions that I saw. There's a very interesting subject, quite a contemporary issue that's discussed, is what about Akum and Tefillah? The issue that comes up is, what should be our opinion regarding Akum, prayer in public school? So Rav Moshe has a very interesting approach. Rav Moshe's approach is that there are two reasons to daven. The two obligations of Hilchot Tefillah. One obligation Hilchot Tefillah explains Rav Moshe is to the obligation. One obligation Hilchot Tefillah is to the obligation that a person has to daven three times a day. Every day a Jew has to daven three times a day. He says that certainly has nothing to do with Akum. Akum don't have to daven. There's no. It's not one of the Zayin Mitzvot Pnei Noach that Akum should daven. But then, says Rav Moshe, there's another aspect of tefillah. The aspect of tefillah is that a person, when he has a need, whether he has a problem or whatever specific need he has, a person is supposed to turn to Hashem when he has those needs. Says Rav Moshe, when it comes to that obligation, Akum are certainly included. Because, says Rav Moshe, the obligation to be mispalel to Hashem when you need something is based, says Rav Moshe, on amunah, that you believe that it is Hashem who could help you. And certainly Akum also have to have amunah and have to believe in the power of God, and therefore davening when there's a need, when there's a specific need, apply to Akum as they apply to Yisrael. That's Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe also says that it's not smart and it's not appropriate for us to take a position in prayer of Akum. It's not our issue. Other Paiskim, however, I saw have a different approach, and their feeling is that Akum have absolutely no chiv to be mispalel. They explain that the chiv of tefillah, is connected avos tiknun. The Akum obviously are not the Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They say the tefillah is based on connected to midim tiknun, and also again, even if we're learning that Akum can bring kabbonis, they certainly have no connection to the tamidim. Furthermore, and that's how it's connected to our Gemara, there are those that suggest that tefillah is based on hartzah, that we should have rotzen by Hashem. And our Gemara just said Akum labnei hartzahim. Also interesting to note that the Ramah discusses if we're allowed to take stokka from an Akum. And the Ramah makes 3 points. He said stokka may not be taken from an Akum. However, nedarim v'nedavos may be taken from an Akum. But from a mumer, we're not allowed to even take nedarim v'nedavos. And the Achroinim explained the opinion of the Ramah as follows. Stokka, they explain as follows. To take tzedakah brings kapara. And as our Gemara teaches us, Akum la b'nei hatzah ninu, and therefore we don't accept tzedakah from an Akum. Nedarim v'nedavos, however, similar to our Gemara, that the Pasuk teaches us that we're allowed to accept kabbonis from Akum, we're allowed to take nedarim v'nedavos from an Akum because it's no different than the Karban Oila. However, taking a neder or a nedavah from a mumer is a question of Chilul Hashem, and Chilul Hashem is unacceptable. Having said that question, that we can't accept the Dharma Davis from a mumer. That's a question of chilul Hashem. Not a question is that we've established that the Ramah says we're allowed to take the darim and davus from an akum. Does that mean we're allowed to accept the darim and davus from an akum, or is soliciting the darim from the and the davus from an akum permissible or not permissible? The question hinges: is that considered perhaps also a chilul Hashem? Says the Mishnah. Dvarim shem chayavim lahem shapigul. Different situations that there's no chiy pigul chayavim. You can still be chayiv because of the nois with tamei. Chutz min adam, except when we speak about dam, that, as we've learned, that dam is not subject to the halacha of pigul, not subject to the halacha of pigul, but it is subject to nois and tamei. Rav Simon says that one is chayiv only when he eats something that is usually eaten. When it comes to eitzim, machlok is to understand what type of eitzim we're talking about, because there are two types of eitzim that are brought on the mizbeach. Eitzim, one type of eitzim is the atzei marochas, the wood that was used for fuel, and one is somebody brought a carbon eitzim. And there's a machlokes we showing him what eitzim is being referred to here. Ava eitzim v'alvonim v'akhtoiris en chayolam mishum tumma, there is no chiv of tumma. Tanabon. Yochel. We learned when we discussed the halachos of pigul in our parak. The pigul is only applicable by something that has a matter nitter situation. So yochel lo yei chayovim. Yochel yei chayovim shum tumma el adav shesh lemetirim bein le'adam mizbeach, that the halacha of tumma should only be applicable in a matir nitta situation, because I would use the following logic: the dinu or ma pigul should be kviya. The halacha is that if somebody eats pigul, he brings a karma chattis, and it's a regular karma chattis, the same carbon chattis under all circumstances. If somebody, on the other hand, enters the Beis HaMikdash when it's tamei, there's a chiv b'shoigi, there's a chiv carbon oil v'yayri. We look at his financial situation. Ubidiachas. If somebody eats carbon that's pigul, so as soon as he becomes aware that he did this aver b'shoigi, he has to bring the carbon. By tumma, there's a special halacha that you only chayiv by tumma's mikdash if there was yidiyah b'tchila. First you were aware you were tamei, then there was a haloma, you forgot, and then there was the idea you became aware. So again, it has that stringency. So I put the mechlola. Pigul, there's never a heter for. On the other hand, tumma hutra b'tzibur. So if pigul has all of these stringencies, yet the halacha is, ein chayovin alav, as we've been learning, there's no chi pigul, ela adovish yesh loy matirin vein lodom el mizbeach. Has to be a matter nitter situation, that the dam is matter, that people could eat it, and that you could pour the blood on the mizbeach. Tumma, shibayil v'yoyrit. Tumma that you bring, that the carbon is fixed according to your financial situation. Tumma that we learned to have two yedis, yedim v'tchil, yedim v'soif. Tumma, which is hutra mechlola, tumma hutra b'tzibur. Ein adin, certainly we should say, shen echayiv el adov eshesh l'matir v'ein l'adam mizbeach. That the halacha matan nitta should apply by tumma as well. Tamalayma, that's why the Torah says, Asher Magdishim Li, to teach us that in all situations, the halacha of tumma applies. Says the Gemara, that now that we've established that halacha of tumma applies regarding all parts of the carbon, Yochel Miyat, we would think that as soon that as soon as something becomes kodesh, the halachas of tumma apply. Tamaloyma yikrav. The pasuk adds the word yikrav to teach us. The pasuk adds the words yikrav to teach us that only, as the Gemara explains, what does it mean yikrav? Arav loza. V'chiyesh nageish shuchayiv. Yikrav means that you touched it. So does it mean that somebody who touches a carbon while he's tamei is going to be chayiv karis? It's only if you eat a carbon when you're tamei, you chayiv karis. El ma tamalai me yikrav, explains Rav Elazar, what does the Torah mean with the word yikrav? V'huchshe l'karav akos medaber. That a tamei is only chayiv when the carbon is ready to be put on the Mizbeach. That means that only when the carbon Hoketa, what does that mean? Yesh le matirin. A carbon that has matirin, Mashiachuv matirin, which means that a carbon that has amrim that are put on the Mizbeach and meat that's eaten by the people, only after the dam of that carbon is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, then and only then does the halacha of Tumah, that if somebody eats the carbon but Tumah, his chayiv karis apply. Eilam matirim. But what about a carbon that doesn't have those halachas? Eilam matirim, a carbon that immediately, that doesn't have dam sprinkled. There, at what point does this isser of a tummy eating the carbon begin? When it's put into a kli sharis, that it gets the status of kedusha. Ask the kedusha. Ask the gemara. Ask kantuma. We've learned the halacha that all kabbanis are subject to the halacha of tuma. We also learned in the mishnah that all kabbanis are subject to the halacha of noiser. How do we know? Answers the gemara. Ask a chilul chil mituma. We learn in zera shava chilul chil mituma. Ask the gemara. Instead of learning from Tumah, why not learn from Pigel? V'leilaf oven mit Pigel. Why don't we learn Xer Shava from Pigel? So ask the Mefarshim, don't we have a rule that when we can remakish something l'chumra, or we can remakish something l'kula, we prefer to remakish it l'chumra? So why would we say that we should remakish it to Pigel and come out with a kula? Of course we should remakish it to Truma, to Tumah, and come out with a chumra. So Mefarshim answer that there's no question that tumah and noiser, that noiser certainly applies by all kabbanis. The only question on discussion here is regarding einshim. When we speak about einshim, the rule that we makish l'chumra over l'kula doesn't apply. Answers the Gemara: mistaber mitumah. Havle lemelef. It makes more sense to compare to tumah than to pigel. Shekhen gezel simon. It has the following similarities. One similarity is gimel. Noiser and tumah affect the actual carbon itself, whereas pigel is only a machshav as regards a machshava. Zayin. Noiser and tumah are not affected by the avoid of zrika. The carbon becomes nicer not because of the zrika. The carbon is tamei not because of the zrika. Whereas pigel is the carbon becomes pigel after the zrika is done. And the lamed achilo nicer and tuma. According to most Rishonim, what the Gemara means is that both by nicer and tuma, the Torah uses the word chilol. The Torah does not use the word chilol by pigel. And that's what the Lamed represents. Another explanation is that the word Lamed represents Kuloi. Noiser and Tuma apply to the entire animal. Pigel, as we've learned, not all parts of the animal are subject to Halacha of Pigel. Adrabba, ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're using, we're looking for what is a more similar or less similar, the Pigel Avalon Melef. Noiser has all of the following common characteristics with pigel. Shekein, hutar. There's never an exception to the heter of noiser. There's never an exception to the heter of pigel, to the iser of pigel. There is, as we've been learning, an exception at times to tumah, tumah to betzivir. Tzitz. The tzitz doesn't have any effect on hilchos pigel or on hilchos noiser, but it does, as we learned earlier in our shir, on hilchos tumah. Tahor. By pigel and noiser, the carbon remains tar. By tumah, the carbon becomes tameh. Bizman, noiser and pigel are time-related. Noiser means that the carbon was left over past the right time. Pigel is a chutzlo zman in machshava. Tumah has nothing to do with zman. Kariv, they're both kabbonis. They're both issues. That have to do with the carbon of itself, not to do with the person. Tumah has to do with the person eating the carbon. And says the Gemara, so now what we have is The Gemara is trying to determine what is a better match. Is the match of Noiser to Tumah a better match, or the match of Noiser to Pigel a better match? So says the Gemara, don't we have more common denominators, common characteristics between Pigel and Noiser versus Pigel versus Tumah and Noiser? And therefore, shouldn't we prefer to learn the halacha of Noiser from Pigel rather than learning it from Tumah? Ella, says the Gemara, another way we know that the halacha of Noiser applies to everything, as our Mishnah said, with the Tani Levi. The Tani Levi. How do we know that the Isser of Tumah also applies to that to things that don't have a matir? Tamaloimer, Vloichalu as Shem Kotchi as Shehe Makdishimu. The Torah uses in the Pasuk the word Vloichalu and explains the Gemara, B'shnei Chilul Akos Medaber, Aloshin Chalalim, two lamids, Echad Psal Noiser, Echad Psal Tumah. Both, since the Torah says Noiser is considered a Chilul, we learn from this Pasuk that anything that is subject in Halacha of Tumah, Noiser will also, that type of object will also be subject to the Issa Noiser.